This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. What can a goldfish teach us about freedom? This is episode 38 of season one of Unhurried, the podcast, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. Thanks so much for following along. Thank you, as always, to Ryan, who produces this, and especially to each of you who follow along. Thank you for making this a thing by participating, by listening, by being part of the online audience. You're making this happen, and I appreciate hearing from so many of you that you are tracking with us. So I began with the question, what can a goldfish teach us about freedom? And I'm thinking about a passage in the Bible, Galatians 5:13, which simply says this, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, rather serve one another humbly in love." And I know someone's thinking, what in the world does that have to do with a goldfish? Back when I was in elementary school, I came home with a free goldfish. You see, back then they would have these carnivals after school once a year. They were a deal back then. I don't know if anybody had those, but we had these carnivals after school. And I think they were to raise money for the PTA. We'd be given tickets that we could use at the carnival for different booths and games and events. And they would have something called, for example, a cakewalk. Does anybody remember what a cakewalk is or know what a cakewalk is? We would line up in a circle and they would play music. You would move from square to square. They'd stop the music. And then whatever number was on the square you ended up on was your number. They would then draw these numbers from a hat. If you won the drawing, you got a homemade cake. Someone had baked a cake for you to enter this contest and to take home a cake. Well, I never won a cake, but I did win a goldfish. They also had these booths set up where you could throw ping pong balls into goldfish bowls, and if it landed in the bowl on top of the water, you won a goldfish, which I did. And so they promptly put the goldfish in a baggie, and then I had to carry this around and carry it home. I came home with my new friend, this goldfish. The problem is that this free goldfish was actually quite costly. Pretty soon this led to a trip to the pet store where I would now buy a bowl for the fish. I'd have to get fish food, goldfish food, which was way more expensive than just purchasing a goldfish. You'd have to, you know, get gravel for the bottom. You wanted to pick out just the right color. Do I go with blue or, you know, the multicolored gravel? Nothing, you know, had to look very quote unquote realistic, just like the goldfish in the goldfish ocean, wherever they live. And then, you know, then it was still kind of lonely in there. So you needed to get the castle and the little treasure chest that it would swim around. So this free goldfish ended up costing, you know, about $20 or something back then, which was significant. A simple free goldfish ended up being quite costly. And the lure of freedom in our lives can often be, in the end, costly as well. Again, I'm thinking about the passage that I read earlier, which began, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." I mean, that is a powerful statement in the scriptures that the Bible says that God longs for us to be free. He really does want us to be free people. He wants us to experience the freedom. In fact, that's what he died for, to set us free. Jesus said, "If the Son of God set you free, that you are free indeed." And that's what he came to liberate us from sin and liberate us from the bondage of sin, and to help us experience the freedom, the liberty that comes with God and walking with Him. So what a profound statement that God has called us to be free. But, you know, the way that we get there as believers is also defined in this passage. It first of all tells us the way not to find it and then the way to find it. And the way not to find it is important because it's actually the way our culture usually teaches us that freedom is found. It continues, the verse continues, says, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. And yet this is the way our culture teaches us what it tells us that freedom is really, how we experience freedom. We experience freedom when we indulge the flesh, as we do whatever we want, act on what you feel, follow every impulse, satisfy your every appetite, live however you wish. Freedom is defined as doing whatever you want, whenever you want it, in the way that you want to. And these are often choices that we make built upon our personal appetites and desires and wishes and interests, those things that fascinate us and fuel us as individuals. And of course, as believers, there's nothing wrong with appetites or desires or wishes or interests. All those things are placed in us by God, by a good God who wants us to enjoy life. But when Paul uses the term the flesh, what he means is the sinful side of us, those desires, those appetites that really spring from our from the sinful, selfish side of our lives rather than from God's purpose and desire and plan for our lives. And one of the easy ways to tell the difference is, do you master it or does it master you? Is it something that controls you or is it something that you control? And many of the flesh indulgences that Paul is talking about here, many of those things are the things that end up seeming small and innocent at first, but then grow and get more and more demanding and start to consume us and start to absorb us as well as destroy us. Maybe a little bit like the goldfish, it starts out small, but then it requires more and more and consumes more and more time and energy and resources of our own. Perhaps it starts as a small worry, but then it builds and starts to consume your thinking of and become this obsessive anxiety because you're so worried about it. Maybe it's a jealousy that builds and grows and kind of takes on a life of its own. Maybe it's a small irritation that turns into anger and fuming. Perhaps it's lust that starts small and grows and builds and starts to master you. All of those things are in our lives are these fleshly indulgences that Paul says that is not where liberty and freedom is found. It feels like freedom to do whatever I want, but we need to ask ourselves the question, is this now mastering me, controlling me, destroying me? So while it is true that God wants us to be free, and we would all applaud that and underline that and celebrate that, we can't stop just with that statement. Paul realized he couldn't stop just with that statement. He needed to clarify what that freedom looks like because he lived in a culture much like ours where freedom was perceived by the world around as just doing whatever you want without any kind of reflection or analysis or evaluation about what that would and could lead to. And fortunately for us, that's not the end of the passage. Not only does the Bible tell us what freedom isn't, in direct contrast to what our culture tells us, it also goes on to tell us what freedom is, what it truly looks like. And the verse finishes this way. It says, rather, serve one another humbly in love. If you want real freedom, learn to serve. Learn to serve others. Now, I guess we'd have to quickly admit that sounds contradictory. To be free is not to be a servant. A servant is in bondage, not freedom. What do you mean, Paul, that if we want to be free, then you need to learn to serve others? Well, it's certainly consistent with what Jesus taught. Jesus taught in Matthew 20 that he talked to his disciples and he was telling them that you must live differently than the culture around you. He says, instead, Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. And again, using this contradictory language to really bring about the important message here that real freedom, real greatness, real to be first in life and to really win at what's really important is to learn to serve, to learn to serve others. Back when Cindy and I were brand new, newly married, we decided to have sort of a theme verse for our life together, and not just for us, but also for if the Lord would allow us to have kids one day. And that verse came from Joshua. It was simply the verse that said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And sometimes when we think about that, we underline the word serve in our minds. As for me and my house, we will serve. We will serve the Lord, because we understand that a life devoted to service is a life that is rich and a life that is free. You know, they did a study a while back about kids in school and what made them feel the most secure during recess, during their break. They evaluated kids at school in a playground that had no fence around it. And at first, that seems like the very definition of freedom. You're let out of class onto the playground, and there's no fence, no boundaries. Go really wherever you want. At least that was the impression you would get as you would step out of the classroom. You could go anywhere. But they found that kids in that environment would stay close to the building, stay close to the play structures that were right there around the building, wouldn't wander off. They felt inhibited about going out. It didn't feel secure to move very far away from the building. In contrast, students that were in playgrounds that were fenced around felt very comfortable to spread out all over the playground. They would move into all the different corners and areas and play in those areas. There was a sense of security that allowed them to move out to the edges and anywhere around the playground. In the same way, our world would teach us that true freedom means no rules, no regulations, no boundaries. Do whatever you feel like, whatever your appetites tell you. Go in any direction you want. But in reality, that's a very insecure world. That's a very insecure structure, because you really, it feels dangerous. You just don't know what all that could lead to. And it's for adults, that is not a healthy way to live. Instead, when we live life with boundaries, with a sense of that which is God ordained for our good, and within the context in our discussion today of serving one another, that is where real freedom comes. You know, there's two different ideas about liberty. And liberty, some say that liberty is license. It's a license to do whatever you want, whenever you want. That's really what our world tells us. But true liberty is found in service. True liberty is found when we devote ourselves to one another and fill our lives with a commitment to each other. That's where we find love, according to this passage. If you read on further in Galatians 5:13, if you look at the very next verse, verse 14, you'll see that this is what leads to love. So which way should we go? Are we going to go towards license, live any way I want, or are we going to go towards love, which is this commitment to serving and caring for one another? I know for me and my house, we will serve. We will serve the Lord. That is our desire. That is our goal. Because we believe that in the end, that's really where true freedom can be found. You know, when I was talking about this last Sunday at church, I also showed a graphic, a hand-drawn graphic that I drew to kind of illustrate this point. And if you want to see it, you can always go to greenvalleychurch.com and look up the sermon for October 6th, 2024. There, it'll take you to YouTube, and you'll be able to see the graphic that goes along with the message there. But it's pretty simple. It basically compared and contrasted a life of freedom from culture standpoint versus a life of freedom from God's standpoint. And if you drew a line over time that goes up means you experience more freedom, down means less freedom into bondage. I would say the culture's view of freedom to indulge yourself and your appetites, it goes up at first. It goes up and starts to climb, but then it quickly plateaus off and then begins to drop. It's less satisfying, less freeing, less liberating, and then it goes back deeper and deeper into bondage, down below just neutral line into an area of really being a master of you and you being its slave, you being a servant to that appetite. But it is that small bump at the beginning where at first it feels very freeing, very liberating to enjoy that fleshly pleasure, whatever it is, whether it's something that you don't want to participate in, like worry, or something that you do want to participate in, some kind of a destructive pleasure. Whichever way you go, at first it does feel somewhat liberating. You know, jealousy is juicy, and anger kind of feels good at first. But then quickly it starts to control you. It starts to take mastery over you, and the liberty fades quickly. And it is that little bump at the beginning, though, that's the trap, because it sort of feels like it's achieving the liberty that it promises. If you think about the goldfish, it was kind of cool having that goldfish on the way home from school in that simple baggie, but pretty soon you realize, man, there's a lot to caring for and providing for a goldfish. It starts to become consuming. On the other hand, if I were to chart the freedom that God brings into our lives, I would put it as a sort of a gradual build that just climbs and climbs and climbs. Service at first may seem, you know, somewhat enjoyable, but not that liberating. Matter of fact, it may feel even like a little bit binding. It may feel like, well, now I've got a schedule to keep and a commitment to abide by, things that I've committed to do. But with time, that very service becomes so liberating because it leads to a life of love, a life of mutual encouragement, a life of purpose, and a life of fulfillment, and a life that is free. I want to keep those two things in mind. What the world promises with freedom doesn't satisfy. What God promises for freedom, and He instructs us to live by, is actually that which brings us the kind of life, the kind of purpose, the kind of fulfillment that we all crave. Well, I hope that's a helpful way for you to think about it as we explore what a goldfish could teach us about freedom. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle, and I look forward to talking soon.